This episode of 15 Minute Fire is dedicated to the 45 souls whose lives were tragically taken on Lag BaOmer in Meiron, as well as the many others who were injured. May the neshamot of those who perished have an aliyah, and those who were injured be zoche to a refuah shlema bekarov. It's been a while, but welcome back to 15 Minute Fire, a Torah inspiration podcast brought to you by the Yeshivat HaKotel Bergman Family Leadership Program. In this episode, episode 5, I'm joined by Mr. Charlie Harari. Charlie Harari is the senior director of a multi-billion dollar real estate company based in New York, as well as a world-renowned motivational speaker and lecturer. Charlie serves as the clinical professor of management and entrepreneurship at the Sy Sim School of Business at Yeshiva University. He also hosts the Charlie Harari Show on the Blaze Radio Network, as well as a show called Unlocking Greatness on NSN. On top of all this, Charlie recently authored a book also called Unlocking Greatness. I'm sure you're all eager to hear what Mr. Charlie Harari has to say, as am I, so let's jump right in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 5 of 15 Minute Fire. We're back this time with Mr. Charlie Harari. Charlie, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. We're just going to jump right into this episode. There's a lot to talk about. Obviously, there's a lot of questions I want to ask. We're going to ask three for the sake of staying consistent with the podcast. So obviously, events in Meiron this weekend, very tragic, horrible thing that happened during a time of Simcha, during a time of great Simcha, everyone collecting together at the end of the coronavirus in Israel, being together. So in the wake of this tragic weekend for Am Yisrael, do you have any words of chizuk and advice on how to move forward together as Am Yisrael, together as a nation?
Listen, the advice that I would take comes from the greatest of all time, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came out of the greatest tragedy. And just think through what we went through. We're coming out of a virus. We're getting together. Rabbi Akiva was coming out of the destruction of the Bais Sheni, the second temple. Between his students and Bar Kochva, they beat the Romans for a period of time. We don't remember this part of our history, but there was a time where we had it back. Like where there was a time where we minted coins and declared a free state and was probably planning the third bias, Rabbi Akiva being in the center of it all. And then it all collapsed. So Rabbi Akiva was there when we emerged, if you will, from a great seger, worse than the one that we went through, but the one with the Romans. And we had everything going for us, Klal Yisrael unified, ready to roll. And so when we look about where to draw chizuk from, just look at our history, and we find people greater than ourselves. So I was zocher this weekend to do a show about this, and we had on Rabbi Yvtiel Goldwicht, and we had this conversation. And what emerged was sort of three things to think about. Number one is Rabbi Akiva had someone that believed in him. He had his wife. And when someone believes in you, you believe in yourself. Hashem believes in us. If your eyes are open, it's because you're in this world for a reason. And if you ever needed to learn that lesson a little stronger, just take a deep breath from Meiron. Life is precious. Every day you have is precious. And we don't take it for granted. God, believe in me. Hashem believes in you. That means you got what to do today. Your day doesn't have to be wasteful. Number two, you got to put one foot in front of the next. Rabbi Akiva became religious, became a Talmid Chacham because he saw the water drip on the rock. It means everything you do matters. That means if the water is going to burrow a hole in a rock, that means every single drip matters. Even the ones that you can't see making the hole. Chizik is not you wake up in the morning and feel amazing after Meiron. You wake up in the morning and you just keep on going. You wake up in the morning and you just bring more light to the world. You wake up in the morning, you do something nice, even though you don't want to, because you'd rather be sitting at home looking at the images for the 80th time. Rather go back and scroll because you feel comfortable in the pain. It's hard to get up and keep on moving. And that's our job. And if there's ever a man that showed that to us, it's Rabbi Akiva. And the last thing that we spoke about, and Rabbi Yvtiel Goldwicht brought this up, all of them he brought up, and this I'm just characterizing his words, was the idea of being on mission. We have a mission. We're supposed to bring Hashem into this world that never stops, no matter what happens. And look at Rabbi Akiva's life. He goes through the worst tragedy, the fall of Beitar. More people die than we've ever probably experienced. we learned that blood rose to the nostrils of the horses of the Roman soldiers. It was so bad. And what did Rabbi Akiva do? He picked himself up. He went south and he raised 5 more students. One of them was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Lag BaOmer. So the chizik is, don't wait to feel amazing. It's not how it works. You keep on spreading the light. You keep on realizing that you're here for a reason. You keep on doing good. You keep on pushing forward one day at a time. You realize that you're here for a mission. And then over time, the feeling comes in. People think that the way I make a difference is when I feel like I want to. That's not how it works. The way you make a difference is when you know you need to make a difference. And then the chizik follows. And if we just look at the great Rabbi Akiva, then we can get all the chizik we need to get through Miron and to hopefully take ourselves to the next level, which I hope is Mashiach.
Amen, amen. Very nice. Always thinking about Rabbi Akiva, thinking about what he went through and applying that to our lives. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here and talk about something that I've seen you do in my life. I was zocheh to hear you speak in Columbus when you came, and I've watched a lot of your videos, and it's been an absolute pleasure hearing from you over the course of my life. Really, my dad watched you when I was younger. It was just absolutely a huge part of my life growing up. So inspiration is something you talk about frequently. So I was wondering, how does one capture inspirational moments and apply them to their everyday lives?
Inspiration is the moment in which you realize who you're supposed to be. Everyone comes from Hashem. We all have Hashem inside us. We all have amazing, big, huge potential. And we forget that in life. Life has a way of keeping us down. Life has a way of making us focus on material. We come into this world filled, brimming with spirituality. The world is our oyster. And somehow along the way, life has a way of reminding us that life's about eating and drinking and money and the stuff that the normal things of getting through life. Now, what happens is we get caught up in life and then something comes our way, whether a peak or a valley, and shakes us up. And at that moment, our soul goes, hey, hey, remember me? Remember how big we can be? This is what we should be focused on. So you have a second where whenever you feel inspired, what that really is, in my opinion, is it's a window into your soul. You feel like it's an overwhelming feeling. It feels like if you think of what inspiration is, it's like a metaphysical feeling. You feel different. You have a different feel towards life. And in that moment, your soul is shaking and your soul is speaking to you and saying, hey, there's more we can do here. So what happens is that this window closes. You go back in a way to being normal or being regular. That's how it works. And the reason why we get inspired is because God wants us to remember that feeling and wants us to elevate the normalcy of our lives so that it matches the inspiration. And now the next time you get inspired, it moves you higher. And then you match that level. And then you go higher and match that level. And that's how you grow in life. You grow from inspiration to inspiration. But you can't grow unless when you get inspired, you do something specific. And if you do something specific when you get inspired, what ends up happening is you are marrying who you could be with who you are. So I'll give you an example. You're listening to a speech or let's use current events. You hear about Meron and you realize that I should be more, be a better son, father, daughter, Jew. And it hits you. It hits you, the value of life. It hits you, the preciousness of the moment. Now, what's happening is your soul is looking at the world going, you see how the world is not in your control? You see how you have every moment is so precious? Come on, we can be greater. Let's do it. And for a second, because the world is different, your soul is taking over your mind and saying, come, let's do it. Now, the moment where you have to make a decision, either you do it and you create talk about what this looks like, but you create an action and now you marry your body to your soul, or you don't do it and then it passes and then you stay the way you are. So how do you make inspiration real? I'm going to give you what I believe is a secret. It's not a real secret. It's just I think it's the scientific approach to this, which is it's all based on how your mind works, which is through a concept called neuroplasticity, which is a long conversation. I do a show every morning for those interested. It's called The Daily Boost. You can Google it or whatever. We talk about this a lot. Your brain is a product of consistent thoughts. For something to be consistent, it has to not be overwhelming. So what you could do, if you do something small that's consistent and has a bigger impact on your brain than something large that's inconsistent. So get to a situation right now and you feel like, I want to do more. Great. So your brain says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call everyone I know and I'm going to raise $1 million and I'm going to finish Shas and I'm going to do a great. Awesome. That's an inconsistent, it's one inconsistent thing. What's more powerful is if you say, okay, I'm moved by my own. For 5 minutes a day, for 6 days a week, for the rest of my life, I'm going to do this. For 5 minutes, I can give them 5 minutes. 45 people passed away. I can give them all 5 minutes, 3 minutes. 3 minutes a day, I'm going to call one person a day. I'm going to pray a little slower when I start. I'm going to say Moda Ani and thank Hashem for my life for an extra minute every morning in memory of the victims. You're going to find something that you got to do that you always knew you should have done. Small, consistent. And what happens is that you've taken the inspiration and you've now attached it to something physical. It's like taking light and attaching it to a candle. And now what happens is that's going to, over time, get basically conditioned into your brain. And that's going to be the new you. And from that, in the next few months, you're just going to say, Moda Ani Slava. You're just going to call someone once a day. You can do the thing. It's not going to be hard anymore. And now you have elevated your life a little bit. And so you will have used the inspiration properly. And then hopefully the time you get inspired, it's because of something positive. And you'll do that and you'll do that. And that's how great people grow. Small bits of action that follow moments of inspiration.
Right. Small actions, bigger after moments of inspiration, create big changes in one's life. We're going to stay on the topic of inspiration over here. What advice would you have for someone who wants to learn to inspire other people?
That's God's business. Anyone that has to do with other people, it's up to God. But I would say that if you want to inspire other people, you have to be inspired yourself, which means you have to learn how to be inspired. You have to find what inspires you and keep on going after it. You have to deepen your time thinking about inspiration so that you could understand why it inspires you. You have to work on your own mind and figure out, what are the times that I'm not inspired? What are the times that I am inspired? How do I get more inspired? How do I push to the inspiration when I don't feel it? Right? I don't think you can really share inspiration if, like, you feel it, you don't feel it, like you need someone else all the time. You have to own it, and you have to own that feeling, and you have to commit to try to be inspired. Really, one of the great ways to be inspired really is to put yourself in a position to give. And when you work on your own inspiration and you put yourself in a position to try to help other people, you force that inspiration. But that's one of the most important aspects of life, is to take responsibility for your own inspiration. You know, I think that's the transition from being sort of a child to being an adult. Children need someone else to inspire them. The kids want to do homework and mom's going to be like, come on, please do homework. And because, like, I don't want to do it. Come on, please. I'll get you this. I'll get you that. Right. An adult that goes to work doesn't need, like, his boss to be like, come on, please. Can I get you a lollipop? Adult's like, I'm an adult. I got to figure out how to inspire myself. I got to figure, if I'm feeling down, what do I got to do? Cause I got to perform. So if someone wants to be a mashpia, I believe you have to learn how to take responsibility for your own hashpa. And you got to say, okay, I got to be inspired today. I feel it. I don't feel it. I don't know. I got to find it. Is it a safer? Is it a person? Is it an action? I got to do it. Like, I can't let days go by. And if, like, nobody comes and inspires me, then I'm blowing my days out. Once you become responsible for your own inspiration, you turn a corner. And that corner is the beginning of taking it for yourself and then hopefully being able to give it to somebody else.
All right. Thank you so much. Beautiful answer, as usual, as always. Charlie, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for doing this. Hashem should bless you to continue doing this until Mashiach comes.
Amen, amen. May that be very soon. Once again, thank you so much to those listening to the podcast. If there's anything you want to ask 15 Minute Fire, you could always reach out to me. Really appreciate the listening support so far. Remember to share with your friends and family. Let's be Mechazik Torah for the Rabbim. Let's spread this around. Charlie, once again, thank you so much. This is Bensi Gisser signing out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 15 Minute Fire. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions, please email 15minutefire@gmail.com. That's 15minutefire@gmail.com. Thank you and have a great day.